Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. Praise the Lord that He knows our name. No matter what we're going through, no matter how difficult times could be, we have a God that knows us personally. I'm so thankful for that tonight. We're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 3 together. Daniel chapter 3. As the service was starting tonight, it was about 7:01, and Brother Andy looked at me. I was excited about the service, and he asked if I was ready, and I said, yes, I am ready. And then he kept looking at me, and I realized, just like every Wednesday night for the last 5 years, I start the service, and I completely forgot about that for a minute. But looking forward to preaching, and I was talking to one of the ushers in the back before church, and they told me when I see them leave in the service, possibly not to be offended by it, they just walk in their sleep a lot. And so I appreciated the warning there. Let's all stand together if you found Daniel chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading a very familiar story. Begin reading there in verse 8. It says, "Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do you not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." We see some men here in a very wicked society that were willing to take a stand no matter what. And tonight we're going to be talking about, for a few moments, the thought of keeping your testimony in a wicked society. Keeping your testimony in a wicked society. Let's pray. Ask the Lord to bless the service. We come to you tonight, God, and thankful to be in your house. We're thankful to be here in church together. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we have a place to come and worship you freely and hear from your word. And I pray tonight that you be with each and every one of us. God, as we're looking at this very familiar story here in Daniel chapter 3, and I pray, God, that as we are looking at it together, we be encouraged, Lord, to take a stand no matter what we may face in this world. And I pray that you just be with me as I preach, and those that are here tonight, or whether they're here, Lord, in the service with us or watching online, I pray that you just do a work in each and every heart tonight. We ask this in your name. Amen. This story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is one of the most well-known stories in the Bible, and one that was probably my favorite as a young boy, just to imagine all that was going on there. And I remember just the picture slides the Sunday school teacher would hold up and just how the imagination would run wild in these Old Testament stories as we heard them as kids. And as we read it together tonight, it's still just such an exciting story, and one that should be very convicting to us as we read it, wondering what decision we would make. And we look at the story and we cheer them on, and we love God, and we know in our heart hopefully what we would do. But when the pressure would come, what really would many of us do? What decision would be made? I pray that we'd make the same decision as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But as we heard this story from our childhood, we have been taught the lesson that taking a stand for God always pays off in the end. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were young boys when they, alongside Daniel and other Hebrews, were taken captive and brought there to Babylon to serve King Nebuchadnezzar. And when these young men arrived in Babylon, they The Babylonians tried their best to change these young men to follow their culture and to do things as real Babylonians would do. And they would even change their Hebrew names to Babylonian names, ones that were more accepted. And when they arrived, their names were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. As we know in the Word of God, and we look back in these days, Hebrew names, all names, and the Hebrew names in particular, had religious significance since each name spoke about the God of Israel. As we look here, for example, we look at Daniel. His name means God is my judge. But Daniel, as he was taken captive, was given the name Belteshazzar, which means Bel is my judge. Hananiah, his name means God is gracious. His name was changed to Shadrach, meaning illuminated by the sun god. Mishael, his name means who is like God. His name was changed to Meshach, meaning who is like Venus. Azariah, his name means the Lord is my helper. His name was changed to Abednego, which means the worshiper of Nego, a Babylonian god of wisdom. They changed their names. They're trying to change everything about them. They even tried to get them to be more part of Babylonian society by getting them to take on the diet of the Babylonians. Very familiar story that we've heard many times in many different ways. And we know that they tried to get the Hebrews to eat the foods that were forbidden under the law of God. And we know the story of Daniel purposing in his heart he would not defile himself with the king's meat and ask for those 10 days. And if after 10 days they were not healthier, then they would bend and eat those things. And God blessed. So the Babylonians failed to force the diet on the Hebrews and failed to get them to abandon their God, to adopt their lifestyle. And we find these men being brought before Nebuchadnezzar here in the beginning of Daniel. And as all these things were happening, as they kept refusing these things and kept refusing to bow down, we still see Nebuchadnezzar acknowledging them there in chapter 1 as being 10 times wiser than the wisest men in his kingdom. God bless. As time continued to go on and God continued to bless, these four Hebrew men were elevated to places of leadership in society. It all started when the king had a dream that he and his wise men could not interpret, and Daniel was called before to interpret the dream, and Daniel shared what God had given him to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was pleased with Daniel and promoted him, gave them positions of prominence and authority in the kingdom. And as we get here to chapter 3, we looking at the text, and we find the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that even though they were in high positions, they found themselves in a life or death decision to make. They could decide to stand for God and face death, or they could decide to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar and go against their God. We know that they chose to stand for God, and I praise God for that tonight and the example that we have. In spite of the danger that was there for them, the threats that were there, the king and what he was, the ultimatum he was giving them, they held tight to their testimony and their faith in God. We have these three men that kept their testimonies in a wicked society, and I want to look at this together tonight with that thought in mind. And the first thing that we looked here tonight is the opposition that they had. We see their opposition beginning there in verse 19. And as we look here at this chapter 3 of Daniel, we find Nebuchadnezzar reacting in anger to the stand that he heard that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were making. And he determines to keep his threat to them and destroy them in a fiery furnace. And he orders them to be bound up and cast into a furnace that had been heated 7 times the normal. And we know the story as the soldiers that were to toss them in the furnace opened the door. They were killed from how hot it was. Verses 9 through 18, what we read tonight, tell us of the anger of Nebuchadnezzar and how and why it was directed at them. And the first reason that the anger was directed at them, the first part of opposition we find is they had this persecution, this opposition, because of their standards. This golden image was set up by Nebuchadnezzar, and there was a command attached to it that as the trumpet would sound, they were to bow down to this idol that Nebuchadnezzar has made. They refused to bow down to the image. Their faith in God their reverence to their God would not allow them to bow down to any other thing or any other man, to have no other God before them. And their standards, their manner of life, made them different from everyone else around them in that day. And their conviction definitely made them stand out. As the trumpet would sound and everyone bows down, there's a few men that were not, and that would definitely stick out. They were persecuted for it. You know, as Christians, as saved individuals, we are expected to have a different standard of living than the world does. We should talk different than the world. We should carry ourselves different than the world. We may be ridiculed for those things or poked fun at for those things sometimes. Or the way we raise our children is different than the way the world raises their children. The standards that we make in our home is different than many of the standards the world has. The things that we drink is different than the things that the world drinks. We talk differently. We dress modestly. As Christians, we raise our children according to the Word of God. And in doing that, we are definitely going to stick out. And in doing that, there will be opposition. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." Later in the New Testament, we find the passage, "Be holy, for I am holy." A decision each Christian must make is to have biblical standards. To be not conformed to this world, to not carry ourselves like the world, not be, put ourselves in the image of the world, but to make standards according to the Word of God and to keep those standards. And as we do that, and as we find in the book of Daniel, as they stood in a wicked society, opposition will come. They are persecuted because of their standards. They were persecuted because of their God. As we read there in the text, there, verse 13 through 15, we find Nebuchadnezzar giving them a second chance. And he's saying, you know, maybe they just didn't understand me before. They didn't understand the severity of the situation. He thought he could talk to these very wise individuals and hearing what would happen if they didn't. And as wise as they were, they would know the decision they should make. And he, as he told them what they were to do and the consequences of not doing it, they told him again, they refuse to bow. And as he was speaking to them there in verse 15, he said, Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? I am more powerful than your God. You think your God is going to stop me from what I am doing? You think he's capable of that? No one is going to stop me from punishing you. He demanded that they bow to his will or else. But they stayed in submission to their God. You know, the believers should walk in total submission to the will of God. We need to be sold out to him, his will. We should have a desire for God to be first in our life each and every day and listen to what the Word of God says and live according to it. Jesus, as he was speaking to his followers in Luke chapter 14, verse 26, he said, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." The standard that Jesus himself gave to anyone that desired to be his disciple is that our love for him, our devotion to him should be so strong and should be so high on top that any other love, any other devotion would look as hate in comparison. And if we are living in this world and truly devoted to God, we will face opposition. Understanding what our life is about, we've been going through the series in Sunday school on stewarding life. And I'm thankful for the reminder that we've had these last 8-9 weeks on that thought. And understanding, as the Bible says in Revelation, that we are created for the pleasure of God. Everything we do should be done for God. Every decision we make should be done for the glory of God and according to the will of God. And from our finances to our health to our energy and our every area of our life should be stewarded for the glory of God and in submission to him. And if we do that, we will face opposition. They're facing opposition because of their standards, because of their devotion to God. And more particularly, they were facing opposition because of their stand. You know, even when they were threatened with a horrible death, they refused to bow. They took a stand for God despite the cost that it was to them. True believers should always take a stand for Jesus, and he expects nothing less than that commitment from us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." It doesn't give stipulations or ways around it. We need to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. We need to be steadfast, unmovable. Not when things are hard, not when there's opposition, but always abounding, unmovable, taking a stand. If we're going to live for Jesus in the world that we are living in today, if we're going to refuse to let the world squeeze us into the mold that it's trying to put us in, then we will face opposition. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter that, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you." When opposition comes, when persecution comes, don't be shocked by it, because it will happen with true devotion. If we're going to live godly in this world, if we're going to live for Jesus, then we are going to be persecuted. There's going to be fiery furnace moments in the life of a dedicated Christian. There's going to be the furnace of criticism in your life. There's going to be a furnace of intimidation or hatred or temptation. There's going to be a furnace sometimes in the workplace because of a decision that you make that may be against what your boss or those authorities at work may desire for you. Young people, as you're at school, whether it's at public school or Christian school, there's going to be times where you face opposition. There's going to be furnace times in your life of temptation and pressure and criticism. There's those up here tonight that have unsaved family, or even family that has put their faith and trust in Christ, but maybe has gone away from the faith or is in a backslidden state of mind. And there's going to be times where they may think you're a little too serious about God, or the standards you have in your family are just a little too much and not exactly what you really need to be doing. And you may face these fiery furnace moments in your life, this opposition, this pressure, these trials. And as the world declines and moves farther away from God, the number of furnaces in our life will continue to grow. We can look back in the 3rd century. Archaeologists some time ago were digging in the remains of a school from the 3rd century. And as they were there digging, they found a picture of a boy with his hand raised worshiping a figure on a cross. But one thing that stood out about this picture is that the boy had a normal body of a boy, but the head of a donkey. And there was a depiction in their language that said, "Alexamenos worships his God," or "Alexamenos is faithful." Apparently in the 3rd century, there was a young boy in school that was standing for Christ when no one else would. We're going to face persecution. We need to understand that the world truly cannot understand or grasp what the Christian life is. Believers are an absolute mystery to most people. The world can't comprehend the way we live, the decisions we make, the things we do, the time we give to the church, the money we give to the Lord. In our testimony and the things that we do, if we are truly following Christ, is going to bother the world. And the natural reaction to the confusion and misunderstanding for many is to persecute the believer. And we need to wholly be aware of that thought, and understanding that persecution may, or understanding that persecution will come, be determined no matter what to stand. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced this trial in their life, and they kept their testimony for God. And when those times come in our life, when that pressure comes in our life, when that furnace comes and it's hot and it's a difficult time in our life, when we feel weak and ready to give up, we can remember what Paul said when he said, when the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness." We need to be ready to take a stand. We see their opposition tonight. The second thing we see, not just their opposition, but we find there in verse 24, their protection. Their protection. As we go there, verse 24 of our text, it says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonied and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, 'Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?' They answered and said unto the king, 'True, O king.' He answered and said, 'Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God.'" Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast into the fire, but an amazing thing happened. Instead of immediately dying in the flames and being consumed, they were loosed from the bonds they were tied up in and were walking around in the flame. And I can imagine Nebuchadnezzar just wanting to show everybody how big and bad he was at the time and how they need to follow his authority and they need to submit to the things that he is saying, seeing the three men that he cast into the fire walking around with a fourth man. And the puzzling look he may have had on his face. And we see that they were protected by a present God. Amen. So I'll turn to Isaiah chapter 43. As they were thrown into the flames, they quickly discovered and were reminded of the fact that they were not alone. The God they had testified about, the God they were standing for, was there with them. And even in the furnace of Babylon, God kept his promise to his people. Isaiah 43 verse 1 says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." We have a God who keeps his promises. We have a God that's given us the same promise in the New Testament, in the Hebrews, where he says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." When the flames of life come around us, when those furnace moments may come in your life, we can remember that we have a present God. When the Lord met them in the flames, they were free for one. You know, the fire did nothing more than burn the rope that had bound them. The Lord loosed them in the fire and freed them from the ropes that held them. They were unhurt. We're told that in verse 25, that they have no hurt. They're not dancing around in the fire. They're not trying to find relief in whatever place they can find it in. They're comfortable in that position. The fire didn't kill them. The fire didn't burn them. God allowed them to go through the fire, but God did not allow the fire to go through them. God allowed them to be in that furnace moment of their life, but God did not allow them to be hurt in those moments. There's a powerful truth here for those that may find themselves in a furnace experience of life, and it may be frightening, it may be scary, but you were not sent there to be destroyed. You were sent there to help you grow in God. And God does not allow those things to come into your life for harm, but he allows those things to come into your life for good. Paul wrote about these moments as he experienced many in his life, and he said, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." I want to tell you tonight that if a furnace moment comes in your life, you will be fine in the fire because God is with you. He won't leave you. He'll preserve you, and he'll keep you for his glory. They're protected by a present God, and they were protected by a powerful God. Verse 27, it says, "And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them." It's probably one of my favorite parts of the story, and one that I find comical. When these men came out of the fire, everybody's shocked at what they have observed. It did not work on them. We find those words there, that the fire had no power. It had no effect on them. And as these men walk out, they're being observed by the soldiers and they're being brought away from the furnace. Those people that were getting them could not probably stand close to the furnace. And these men are just walking out of it freely. And these men may be yelling out, "Hey, their clothes are fine. They're not warm. I see no burns on their skin." And Nebuchadnezzar's like, "Let me see that." And he walks over there. And I can imagine them going there and them feeling and seeing if they're hot and maybe going and smelling the clothes that were on them. And it still smells like fabric softener. There's many times we burn things here at the church and you can't throw a box in the fire at the church without coming back in smelling like smoke. But these men were thrown into a furnace that was killing people that just got close to it. And they were not affected in any way. It's the power of God. When God does something, he does it all the way. When he heals completely. When he saves completely. Whatever he does all the way. And that power he has is available to each and every one of us tonight. Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus, he said, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, more than we can comprehend." We have a powerful God. So when we're in those moments, remember that. These men were standing by the Lord and God was standing with them. And God, no matter what situation you may find yourself in, no matter how hot the furnace may be in your life, he has a way of strengthening and helping us in those times. He's a protector. We see their opposition. We see their protection. And the last thing tonight, we see their result. If we look at verse 28, it says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." You know, everyone involved in this event, everybody that witnessed this event had a greater understanding of who God was and what he was capable of. Going in, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had no idea what God was going to do. They knew what he was capable of. But they trusted him anyway. Nebuchadnezzar, as we've already brought up, he thought he was more powerful than the God that these men served, and that there was really no smart option for them but to bow down. But in the end, everybody there learned that God was greater than any king, any idol they worshipped. And in the furnace moments of your life, just as we find here, one thing that will happen as you stand and stay faithful to God is God will be uplifted. We look there in verse 29, in verse 28, 29, we see a pagan king, moments before asking these men to bow down to him, that is exalting the name of the true God. And I believe one of the reasons that God allowed this furnace moment to happen in this time of their life and allowed Nebuchadnezzar to go through with these things is that so he could melt the heart of a lost heathen king. This changed Nebuchadnezzar. This changed the way he viewed God. He surrendered his pride and he looked to God as Lord at that moment. And if he can change a pagan king in Babylon, then he can save anyone and help anyone. You never know how God will use the afflictions in your life. We need to lean on his grace and trust him to sustain us in each of those moments. You know, it may be that God is using a furnace moment in your life, something that is difficult, something that is one of the hardest, most painful moments of your life, a time that hurts, to show a lost world that he's God and he can help them like he's helping you in that moment. God was uplifted. And the men that stood for him were blessed. You know, because they were faithful to God, they passed right through the furnace unhurt. And then on the other side of this experience, they were promoted beyond where they already were in the kingdom. You know, most of the time in the Bible when we see the way God's using people, God doesn't use people to their full potential until they've first gone through some moment like this. There's exceptions to that, but most of the people, great stories we find in the Word of God, were faced much opposition at the beginning before the victory. Elijah couldn't stand on Mount Carmel in power until he was there by the dry brook in humility. Moses couldn't lead the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt until he spent 40 years as a shepherd. The story of Gideon is probably one of the greatest examples of this, and we find that in Judges chapter 6. We're not going to go there for time's sake, but we find Gideon with an army of 32,000 men. 22,000 of those men left because they were afraid. He was left with 10,000. When he was left with the 10,000, 9,700 of those rejected God, and Gideon was, after starting with 32,000, already outmatched, is now down to 300 men. As Gideon was leading these 300 men, he hears the enemy comparing him to a cake of barley bread, to a dry biscuit. They were comparing Gideon and his strength to a biscuit. And God used a biscuit to bring victory for the first people. Amen. You know, when God allows you to go through a furnace, it's not to hurt you, but to grow you. And it's always there to lift him up. So in the opposition, stand. We look at this story here, and we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego keeping a firm grip on their testimony and keeping their faith and continuing to stand for God, not compromising, not bending, not giving in. And they stood, and God honored them. And I want to tell you tonight that he'll do the same thing for you. God will bless you in your faith, and God will bless you in your life as you honor him in those fiery furnaces moments of your life. And when we stand with the Lord, when we do what his will is, when it may not happen on this earth, but if it doesn't, one day you'll hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." As we're closing out tonight, as we look at this story, and we see as in our flesh what they were facing, we can look at the story and what if they decided for just this one day they were going to take a break? They decided for just this one difficult moment of their life that they would just bend this one time. Because if they don't, their impact on Nebuchadnezzar, their impact on this pagan society is going to be no longer because they won't be around. So what if we bend this one time and then we can kind of build our testimony back and try to persuade them to turn to God? Maybe that's a good way to come about this. This one just seems a little too hard. I don't know if we can overcome this one. So just this one time, let's decide to bow down. And we're not going to mean anything by it. We're just doing it to maintain our lives. Would Nebuchadnezzar ever taken them seriously after that? Would Nebuchadnezzar have turned to God at any moment? Were the thousands of people that were there witnessing these men being punished for not bowing down to a pagan king, would they have seen the work of God? No. As weary as trials may be and as difficult as furnace moments may be in your life, those moments you choose to bend, those moments you choose not to stand, you lose an opportunity to have an impact on the lost. And you lose your opportunity to lift God up. The story I saw in Joe DiMaggio, he was a famous catcher for the Yankees. And late in his career, as he was aging and not playing as good as he once did, they were ahead in the pennant race. And Joe DiMaggio, after a game, was asked why he played so hard. And he answered, he said, because there might be somebody out there who's never seen me play. You know, the Christian should live every day as if someone will see him who's never seen a Christian before. Every day we live, we should live in a way, and we should stand in a way, and we should keep the faith in such a way that the example we've set and the devotion we have to God can have a lasting impact on those that witness it. And I want to encourage you tonight that no matter what you're facing and no matter how difficult the furnace experience may be in your life, no matter what, live for God. Take a stand. Don't fall to the temptation. Don't give in to the persecution. Because there's people in this world that your testimony can have a lasting impact on. Every head bowed and every eye closed. It's Wednesday night. We don't have a musical invitation, but the altar's always open. Maybe there's someone you need to talk to tonight about the Lord and your relationship with him. And maybe you need help or need the strength of God to stand in the face of temptation. Maybe you need to ask the Lord for forgiveness because you haven't stood as you should. Maybe you just want to ask the Lord tonight for strength to be more bold in this world. Whatever it may be, the altar's open. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this privilege to be here together tonight. Pray that you bless this invitation. We ask this in your name. Amen.